right. Presence of God, our multidimensional experience. I started looking at this. And, you know, when you look at the scriptures, you always think it's going to become more familiar. And in a sense, it does. But at the same time, the questions that you have about God, about what it all means, they just keep multiplying. And just the amazement. And I think this is one of those amazing kinds of topics where you're constantly challenged. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. What would church be like without God? You know, would we just be a social club? That's a really genuine story. Now, this is a picture of a church. You know, they have their team. They have announcements, a sermon. And they're called the Sydney Atheist. Church without God. We should pray for them. Yeah, Father, let them have an awareness that you're there. Yeah, because you are there in their midst, and we want to see people like this change. Amen. Yeah, little do they know that God is omnipresent. He is there. You know, when they meet, God is everywhere. So I'm going to start talking a little bit from the Old Testament. Then I'm going to talk a bit from the New Testament and come to some applications along the way. I just want to ask you one thing before we start, is what is our church like? You know, and what is church meant to be? Like, if we don't have this idea of the presence of God in our midst, if it's just about going through the religious motions, we're nothing but deists. You know what a deist is? You know, God created everything and left. That's not who we are. We are people who live in the relationship with God. And so this topic is incredibly important to us. It's incredibly important that we capture some of what it means that God is with us and the various aspects of his presence. So I'm going to start with the general aspect. Old Testament, God is omnipresent, as the theologians call it. He's transcendent, which means he's above everything, but he's immanent, which means that he is close. And Jeremiah said, "Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" So everywhere God, everywhere that is, God is filling. Now, we're not pantheist. We don't believe that there's a bit of God in everything, even though we believe he's present everywhere. That's this transcendence. He's not, we're not God, but yet he's here with us wherever we are. And, you know, the presence of God, even people who are pagans get this. You know, Rahab the prostitute, really low morals, and yet the spies come in from the Israel, and she says to him, "The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven and above and on earth below." So she had an awareness of God. All right, so, but it goes a step further. You know, this, and this is where we start going, well, what does the presence of God actually mean? So when we go, God is here, omnipresent, I'm not sure whether that's exactly the same as saying God is with us. Now, I don't think the presence has changed, but the fact is that when we talk about God as his people, he is present with his people. And that can be incredibly intimate. you know this familiar Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know, when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from far away. You can go down further, but it's very clear. You know, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? There's nowhere we can go that God isn't incredibly intimate. And then when you would talk about God is with us, you can think of all the people in the Old Testament that walked with God. Enoch walked with God and he was taken. Pretty amazing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all knew God. They walked with him. And then the Exodus, we'll come back to that in a moment. And then you get this sense of, you know, God with us. It's a cause for us to have courage. Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The sense of God on our side. Amazing truth. Isaiah, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. So if God is present with you here and now, don't be afraid. Don't let that anxiety go over to him. The Lord your God is in your midst, Zephaniah. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. Not only is it a cause for not being afraid, but it's a cause for joy, because he's joyful over you, even as he's here. Okay, we'll go one step further. Now, in the Old Testament, you've got this picture of God everywhere. You've got God with us. But that God with us in the Exodus, left out Psalm 22:3, you inhabited on the praises of Israel. I'll move on, but that's something just to keep in the back of your mind. But no, Exodus. Moses sees the burning bush. You know, suddenly the manifest presence of God. You know, God's not just out there. Now, this is where it gets a bit messy, like God's everywhere, and yet there's this physical manifestation in a place of him. I'm not going to pretend I fully understand this. But this builds over the story of the Exodus. God is with his people. The plagues come down on their enemies. The Exodus is all about God defeating the gods of Egypt and releasing his people. And throughout that picture, God is with us. God is with us. And then when they come out of Egypt, there's this pillar of cloud leading them. And the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they come out. And as they come out, the Egyptian army's chasing them. The pillar of fire, God's presence in their midst, stands between the Egyptian army. And you know the story. Horse and rider fall into the sea. The Egyptians are defeated. And God then leads them into the wilderness. It's just such an amazing picture of the presence of the and the power of God. And yet, and then the presence lands on this mountain. Moses goes up onto the mountain, experiences God, gets the Ten Commandments, comes back down. And you would think that the people by this stage who've experienced the presence of the Lord would be responding in praise and worship and loving God. But what happens when he comes back down the mountain? They're off with the golden calf. Moses goes back up. Why Moses would go back up the mountain and intercede for the people, I have no idea. I mean, amazing guy, but don't wipe them out, Lord. They're your people. We see this incredible mercy and grace of God. And we find that Moses' ministry gets to this point where Moses has understood that without the presence of God, Israel is nothing, nada, absolutely, you know, absolutely going nowhere. And he says, Lord, you have said to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. And you notice this understanding that the presence is favor. He says, consider to this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And he said to him, and I love this prayer, and I hope this is one that you pray too. If your presence will not go out, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way, we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth. You know, we really want that, that the presence of God is what carries us up from here. Because if we don't go up with that, well, there's nothing. Let's just forget this. Now, as you go further in this, the presence of God, and you know, there's this, all this concept of glory around it. And the glory would fall on this tent of meeting. Moses would pitch it outside of the camp. He'd go out there, meet with God, and there's a several instances where you get this picture of Moses coming out from meeting with God, and he's glowing. Now, I don't know what this actually meant. I guess you'd probably get it closer to some of those sci-fi films where there's light coming out of someone's face. But the glory of God was so strong on Moses that he was just reflecting it. And they had to put a veil over him. I mean, it was scaring the people around him. It says something about when we're in the presence, the glory can shine from us. And we'll see a New Testament passage on this in a moment. And the Shekinah landed. Now they built the tabernacle. In a sense, if you've been following what I've been saying, you've got God outside everywhere. And then as the tabernacle is built, you've got the inner courts where God is. And then you've got the manifest presence of God. And where does that land? Right in the Holy of Holies, in the middle of the tabernacle. And this Shekinah, it's not a biblical word. It's a rabbinic word that was labeled afterwards, the kabod, the glory of God, the weight of glory, which is what that word means, is the biblical word. But Shekinah is the word that the rabbis used to describe this, and it was the tabernacling of God. God is living with us. And if you go into the rest of the Old Testament, the Shekinah is where God is dwelling, and the whole sacrificial system, the whole religion of Israel is all centered around that physical presence of the Lord in their midst. When they finally get rid of the tabernacle and they build the temple, boom, down the Shekinah comes again, fills the temple when Solomon prays over it. Now, there are other ways that God manifests himself in the Old Testament. Now, Isaiah, you remember Isaiah in the temple, and suddenly he's got this whole vision of heaven around him. And there are these passages like Isaiah 6 and then some of the passages in Ezekiel, where you get this sense of the presence of God in heaven now being manifest in what to someone here on earth. And Isaiah gets this picture of heaven. Again, I want to come back to that in a moment. There's one other thing that also happens in the Old Testament, is that the Spirit of the Lord would come on people. You know, and it's almost like this, I've got to get the words out. It was like being overcome by your enemy. You know, the enemy would rush out, take you over. And that was the sort of idea of the Spirit coming on people. And then what happened to them? Well, you know, the judges would then lead Israel out into battle. And the Spirit of God would take them and do things with them to bring victory. Okay, so let's fast forward this into the New Testament. You following it so far? So if you're not sort of thinking about this, well, God is present. And I'm trying to get my head around this. I think God is bigger than our comprehension at times. Because, you know, when you think about it, these different aspects of his presence are all somewhat different. And yet it's the one God. Now omnipresence. You know, in the New Testament, it's there. It could bring up several passages. I realize this is quite a spiritual feast. I usually preach on one passage, but not a whole string of things, but today I just thought I'd let go. Just let you get a fuller picture. So Acts 17. Do you know what the context is here? Paul's walking past this pagan temple, which says to an unknown God, and he starts preaching to the Athenians. You know, and he starts talking about who God is, the God who made the world and everything in it. He who is the Lord of heaven and earth does not live in shrines made by human hands. He gets down and he starts quoting the Athenians, because they've realized a truth that God is everywhere. For in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Now, I wonder in your daily lives, now I find this hard to picture, okay, but this morning when I was getting ready to come, I just had this sense of, yeah, that's an interesting illustration, but thinking about my colleagues at work, all right? Can you think of your colleagues at work or family members or situations or social situations where you may find yourselves or educational situations? Can you think of those people? I don't want you to think just of the Christians, but I want you to think of everyone at those places, that in him, in God, they live and they have their being. What a thought. The people around us are in this omnipresence of God. Doesn't that change your perspective of what's going on in our workplaces, what's going on in our homes, in our families, in our social life? The presence of God. And Paul just let loose, preached the gospel. He knew this, understood that God is there. And not only is God there, but if we're in that situation and God is with us, you know that second dimension we started talking about? God is with us. That comes into our workplaces, our homes, our families, our social being, anywhere you find yourself. And so let's start talking about God is with us from a New Testament point of view. I should have another verse up here. I missed one. Luke. starts the gospel. Emmanuel, God is with us. So in the New Testament starts at a very different place to the Old Testament. Not only do we have this idea of God with us, but we have Jesus, God himself, walking amongst people. And then, you know, you can think who Jesus is, how much he showed us. You know, he said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And as Jesus' ministry develops, you see him showing the glory of God. You know, John says, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory. It's just an amazing truth of what God with us means. Jesus does his ministry, gets to the cross, dies. As he dies on the cross, suddenly the temple curtain is ripped from the top to the bottom. What does that mean? Suddenly the presence, you know, that manifest presence of God that's in Israel, but it's hidden behind the curtain. Jesus dies, bang! Presence of God is wide open. All right? Then he rises from the dead, ascends to heaven. And so, you know, there's a whole bunch of things going on here that we need to be aware of. See, when he died, when we came into faith, we come into Christ. Okay? And where Christ goes, we go. You know, if you're a believer, when Christ died, it tells us that, that we died with him in Romans somewhere, that we were buried with him in baptism, and so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. And not only did he rise, and we're in him, but then he rose into heaven, and there's another aspect of God's presence, and that's why I brought up Isaiah. Suddenly, we are seated, Ephesians 2, we are seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Mind-blowing. Just, all right, now, we don't really look like we're in heaven here. I hope you feel like it, but do you get this, that there's this spiritual reality? Not only are you in Christ, but you are in him up, well, wherever that is, in that dimension. All right, so you know, set your minds on things above, says Colossians. Since you've been raised with Christ, you know, if you can get this, so you're present in heaven with him, and it means that we have, you know, Hebrews, you've come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the firstborn, and so on. But you know, where are you? You're in front of the throne of grace. Throne of grace in heaven, you have straight access into the presence of God in heaven here and now. You might not see it in your physical eyes, but spiritually, it's there. And you know, God gives us his Holy Spirit. Now, actually, there's a Trinitarian presence. No, we're all pretty aware of the Spirit of God in us. You become a believer, deposited in each of us. You know, Vlad, my friend over here, and I had a really good discussion on this. If you don't know Vlad, go and say hi to him. He's a terrific chap. We've got a few visitors too this morning. I should have welcomed you earlier. It's lovely to have you with us. Some from America. It's wonderful. But you know, the Spirit of God in me, Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit comes to the church. And so God is with us, in us, on a corporate level. So, you know, Scott, come over here. You know, when I walk over to Scott, Spirit in me, Spirit in Scott. You know,
watch out.
and you know, the Spirit is in both of us. Mm-hmm. You know that it's not like I've got a bit of the Spirit and Scott's got a bit of a Spirit. We have the same Spirit. So we're connected deeply. Because, you know, we can't just say, oh, you know, they're this. Thanks, Scott. They're this, we're that. Know some of those Christians who aren't quite like we are? If they've got the Spirit of God, same Spirit in them, same Spirit in us. You know, the presence of the Lord in them, now they might not understand it in the same way that we do, but it's a truth. You know, one body. You know, Jesus' church is one body. And you know, I want to get down to this. I've talked about us being in Christ. Well, there's also Christ in us. You know, Colossians, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. So it's not just a Holy Spirit in us. This is a Trinitarian bit. Jesus said, you want to know where the Father comes in? Well, Jesus said, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So you come into your work, home, wherever, and God is with us, and the Trinity is with us. As I said, it's just the mind expands when you start thinking about it this way. This is who we are in Jesus Christ and who He is in us because of our faith in the work that He has done, dying for us and rising from the dead. So, and what about the manifest presence of God? It still happens. You know, at Pentecost, tongues of fire came down. Manifest presence of God. Acts 4, they're in a room. They're praying against persecution. They're asking for strength. Holy Spirit comes down, shakes the room. I think some of you have some of you had room shaking experiences? I know in the time of the refreshing, God was certainly shaking people. And you know, the manifest presence of the Lord, it's not just simply He wants to give us some unusual experiences. There's an empowerment in this. You know, wait in Jerusalem until power on high comes on you. There's an empowerment for ministry. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, there are a variety of gifts, the same Spirit, variety of services, and to each is given the manifestation for the Spirit of the Spirit for the common good. And then the list of the different things that the Holy Spirit does, such as speaking in tongues, faith, working in miracles, healings. Okay, so where does this leave us? I'm sorry for the PowerPoint. I've gone a bit out of order. We've got the dimensions, okay? You can't get away from God, all right? Wherever you are, he's going to be there. All right? He's present, not just omnipresent, but he's with us. We are in him. He is in us by his Spirit. In the corporate body, he is at work in us together. So the corporate body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. All right? So we're in this together, like it or not. He's also able to manifest his presence in a way. Now, who is this God? What kind of person is he? See, each time we're in the presence of God, we're in the presence not just of the most holy, righteous being who we tremble at, but we're in the presence of perfect love. So everywhere we are, we stand in the perfect love of God. What a thought. There's no situation. You can't get away from the love of God. You know, Romans 8. Can't escape the love of God. Right? He's gracious. The incredible God of grace. Everywhere you are, you carry the grace of God in you because the grace and love are in you. Christ is in you. Father's in you. The Spirit's in you. You carry that love and grace. And the grace of God is with you in your situations. You know, a bit of eye-opening. You're seated in heaven in front of the throne of grace. Access. Our daily lives cannot keep going on the same if we understand the truth of the presence. I really am preaching this morning, aren't I? You know, but it's just phenomenal. You know, we can walk into places. Like, you know, there's place, you can walk into a place and you will change the atmosphere simply because you know Jesus and he's in you. All right? I used to pray for this bakery in I used to live in Kazakhstan. Some of you know this. I walked into this Soviet bakery. It was so depressing. And I used to pray that God would change the atmosphere. And he did. No, after a few visits, they started smiling. Just the joy of the Lord. You know, God is the delighter. He's full of joy. You know, in your presence, another biblical verse, in your presence is fullness of joy. All right? Hope. You know, how much more hope can we have if the Lord is with us?